Zohar that there were 53 sedras in the Chumash, and there's an obvious problem because we know that there are 54 sedras in the Hamisha Chumash Torah. So the standard answer that's given is that Truman Tetzave are counted by the Zohar as one, because in Parshas Tetzave the name of Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't appear. From the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, his name appears in every sedra except for Tetzave. That's heartbreaking. In fact, usually Tetzave, I think over Tetzave is the Parshas of Shavua of Zayin Adar. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't appear, hasn't disappeared. And it's usually assumed, like the Bala Turim writes on his commentary on Chumash, that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear in Parshas Tetzave is because of the klola that he brought upon himself. That when he was arguing with the Rabban Shalom to forgive the Jewish people for the Chet HaEgel, so he said that if Hashem, he threatened him, if Hashem doesn't forgive us, the Rabban Shalom should erase his name from the Sefer Torah. That's one way of reading the Pshat and the Pasuk. You could understand the Pasuk differently, but that's one way to interpret the Pasuk. So, even the Rabban Shalom did forgive the Bnei Yisrael, he said, nonetheless, Kilos Kocham is Miskayam, Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear. So that's what the Chidor quotes from the Kubbalah, from Achrenim, that the reason why the Zohar mentions that there are 53 sedras, even though we know in truth that there are 54, is because the Zohar didn't want that there should be one whole sedra that's missing the name of Moshe Rabbeinu from the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, starting from Chumash Shmais. So that's what the Zohar counted it as if Truma Tetzava really one sedra. Yeah, I don't know what that means at all. I don't understand what the whole topic is. What it means, sedra. What's an afkamina? How many sedras there are? I don't know what that means. It's a serious question. And the Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying otherwise, that it's not Truma Tetzave that it to be combined, but it's rather Nitzavim Vayelach, as we all know. I don't know exactly what that means. That we all know that Nitzav Vayelach are really one sedra. Because in the Sefer, at the end of the Sefer, Amunah Bitochon, which has a likut of Divrei Torah from the Vilna Gaon, from Abchaim Valozhinus, on the end they quote the famous comment that the Vilna Gaon is Merumas in Chumash Dvarim, Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, in the Pasuk Eben Shleima Yihi Eloch, so Eben Shleima is the Rosh Hitevis of Eliyahu Ben Shlomo. And that's why the Sefer that has the likut of the comments of the Vilna Gaon is called Eben Shleima, or Eben Shlomo, however you want to pronounce it. But the rest of the story is not that well known, but it appears in the end of the Sefer Amunah Bitochon. The Rav Chaim Valozhin asked the Vilna Gaon, that the Rebbe said, the Vilna Gaon always used to say, that everything is Merumas Mechumish, every person, everything that's going to happen outside of Kolador is Merumas Mechumish. So he asked him, where is the Rebbe Merumas? So the Vilna Gaon took out a Chumish and he started looking at Parshas Ki Tzeitzei until he found this Rebbe as Eben Shleima Yevah. So he said, Eliyahu ben Shlomo. So Rav Chaim Valozhin asked him, why did he go look to Parshas Ki Tzeitzei? Why did he look in Parshas Achri Mois, Kedosh, and Parshas Ki Tzeitzei? So the Vilna Gaon said that there were 10 sedras in Chumash Dvarim. And even though there seemed to be 11, so he said, no, Nitzav Mayelach is one, as we all know. Kayadua, as we all know, Nitzav Mayelach counts as one. And each one of these sedras, each one of the 10 sedras in Chumash Dvarim, contains within it remozim for everything that's going to happen in the Elif Hashishi. Gemara says that the Midrashim say the world is going to last for 6,000 years. From the year 5,000 to 6,000, that's the last Elif. So every Elif has 10 centuries. So Dvarim has all of the remozim for the first century in the Elif Hashishi. And the Vaischanan has all the, if you read in between the lines, you can find all the remozim for the second century and so on. Vilna Gaon said that he lived in the 6th century of the Elif Hashishi. Shnas Tavshin, 1940, corresponds to the year 5700. That's the way we count. Right or wrong, that's the way we count. So if you go back 700 years, when did the year 5000 occur? That corresponds to the year 1240. Yeah? 1940 was 5700, so minus 700 is 1240. So from 1240 to 1340 was the first century in the Elif Hashishi. So if you want to find your Muslim for what happened during that century, you should look in Parshas Dvarim. And between 1340 and 1440 was the second century and so on. So the Vilna Gaon lived in between 1740 and 1840, and that was in the 6th century of the Elif Hashishi, of this 6th millennium. So that's why he said that he looked instinctively, that's why he looked in Parshas Kisetzei to find the remnants of himself. I don't know where any of this comes from, what the sources are. Maybe it's Midrash, maybe it's Zohar, I don't know, but that's what Rav Chaim Volozhin was quoted as having heard from the Vilna Gaon. Moshe Rabbeinu warns Bnei Yisrael getting geese on giving Musar and Tokacha, we should be careful not to worship Avodah Zarah. And he says, when we were in Mitzrayim and when we were traveling during the 40 years of the desert, we saw a lot of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, Panyesh Mechamish Arisha, you have to be careful that not to fall for the Avodah Zarah. Why does the Torah describe the Avodah Zarah as she could say him and Gilu Lehem? So Rashi quotes the Pshat, why does she could say him? Alshem Shehem Urusim Kishkotzim. They're disgusting like cockroaches. And Gilu Lehem Shemusrochim Urusim Kigolo, like Tsoa. The Chassidish Rebbe, the Bnei Yisoschar, writes in his Sefer Derech Pigadecho, he has a halacha sefer that's called, he has a few halachas from that's called Derech Pigadecho. He writes la halacha that he has a chiddush, that he thinks a person is not permitted to daven or to say a bracha, to learn tuch talar amis of an Avodah Zarah. Because Rashi Yom Chumash points out that throughout Tanakh, Dvarim Shel Avodah Zarah described as golos. Just like one is not permitted to daven tuch talar amis to tzoa, so too so one is not permitted to daven or to say divrei Torah, tuch talar amis of Avodah Zarah. There's a pasuk in the beginning of Chumash Dvarim where it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, and he tells him he's going to daven to Hashem to stop the borah, I think it was. So the pasuk says, "Vayetze kitzesi esoir." At first, says kapay al Hashem. When he leaves the city, then he will pray. So Rashi on that pasuk in Parshas Bo, I think, says, "Why kitzesi esoir? At first, says kapay. Why doesn't he pray here in the king's palace?" He says, "No." Moshe Rabbeinu told Paro, "I cannot daven in this city. It's full of Avodah Zarah. He has to go chutzliyah." So usually we don't pshat. The Gornish, he felt uncomfortable. He's going to daven in the middle of all the Avodah Zarah. According to the way that Derech Pigadecho writes, it could be that it's really alpidin, that it's prohibited to daven tuch talar amis of Avodah Zarah, because it has the status like golo. Exactly why should that be so, that it should have the status like golo? Perhaps the Geder Hadin is the following. The Gemara in Brachos has halacha that not only are you not permitted to daven tuch talar amis of the tzoa. Let's say you're far away from those who learned in certain yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. Remember, certain yeshivas are near kibbutzim. And depending on which way the wind is blowing, so you may have some kind of a reach toif. So there's a din in the Gemara that you're not permitted to daven when there's a reach raf in the tzoya, even though you're further than Dalet Amos away. So the Darkei Tshuva in the Sefer on Yerodeya, the Hilchos Shechita discusses on Siman Yutes on the Birchas Hashechita. He discusses the shaila, is the shaykhah permitted to recite the bracha in the slaughterhouse when there's a terrible, terrible odor from the blood? There's no tzoa, there's no golo, but there's a terrible odor from the blood. Or let's say a person works in a lab with chemicals, and the chemicals have an awful, awful odor. I remember years ago, the Rav's brother, Shmuel Soloveitchik, taught us chemistry here in the college. So he told us when he went, I think he went to the Sorbonne. So I think he said when they wanted to go to the theater, they couldn't afford the students in the university, they couldn't, the concert, I forgot already what he said. So they couldn't afford to buy the best seats. So they bought the least expensive tickets and they sat in the back. But they had come straight from the lab with the chemicals on their fingers. And once they sat down, so everybody around them moved away. They were there the whole day in the lab, so they got used to it. So it didn't mean anything to them. First couple of minutes it was annoying, and then they got used to it. But the people in the theater all moved away, so they moved up five rows. And then they sat there for 5 minutes, and everybody knew. So finally, in the middle of the presentation, they already got the best seats in the house. So there's a shaila, the Darkei Tshuva raises a shaila. The Gemara says you're not permitted to daven if you smell the reach ra from the golol. So what if you're in a room where there's reach ra? You walk in, and the terrible odor of the chemical hits you, and it's very annoying. Are you permitted to say a bracha? Or the shaykh walks into the slaughterhouse, and first he smells the blood, and it's an awful reach. Until he gets used to it, is he allowed to say a bracha? So he says yes. he quotes the Achronim that yes, that the only time you're not permitted to recite a bracha when there's a Reach Ra is if the Reach Ra is emanating from something that decays. Let's say a person or an animal eats food and then it turns into tzoa. A person eats food and he vomits it up. Ki. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that ki is also dina ketzoa. Why? Because he originally started off with some delicious steaks or ice cream or popcorn or cracker jacks, whatever the person, potato chips, some visualizing you might some delicious food. And then it disintegrated and it turned into vomit, it turned into ki, turned into tzoya. Or let's say you had fish or chicken and you have it sitting around for a month and it smells, it disintegrates and it decays and it smells awful. So when you have something that decays, and because of the decay, because of the rot, that's why it has a bad odor, so that's a din of tzoya. Then you're not permitted to say brach, called man that you have the reach ra. But if you have a chemical that you have the blood from the animal and its natural property is that it has this bad odor, so that's not something that decays. That's the way the Rabbi Shalom created it. So there's nothing improper about that. So that's not included in the pasuk that says before the shabbat the chisis says tzeir secha, that you're not permitted to daven or say divrei Torah toich talan amis of the tzoya or called man that the reach ra is discernible. So perhaps that's what the Derech Pikudecha is driving at when he says that Avodah Zarah is Dina Kigolo. What it perhaps means is the following. If somebody worships Avodah Zarah, so the object becomes also Baal Noah. So in that sense, it just decays. Originally, the Rabbi Shalom created a beautiful world. The sticks and the stones are Muta Baal Noah. And when someone worships it, it becomes also Baal Noah. So that's a form of decay. It doesn't emanate, it doesn't give forth any bad odor, but Tech Dalai Lama, even if it doesn't have a Reach Ra, you're not permitted to daven not to say divrei Torah. Chutz from Dalai Lama, then it's determined by whether it has a Reach Ra or not. Maybe that's what he's driving at. Yeah, if that's the pshat, then it wouldn't apply to Balei Chaim, because Balei Chaim, or let's say Balei Chaim or trees, let's say there's an Asherah that they always worship, and that Asherah is not Osa Banor. Mara says sometimes he says Asherim to Gadeon, sometimes the Asherah is our Osa Banor, sometimes I say no, it's Mechubal Karka. And it's mutabanot, the long discussions in Mishnayis and Gemara Avodah Zarah, which asheris are rosabanot, which asheris are mutah, because they're mechubas. So let's say you'll have such an Avodah Zarah where the worshipper is takachayiv misa of dehem desayiv, but the object itself didn't decay, it didn't rot, it didn't become rosabanot. So perhaps then the chiddush of the derech pikudecha wouldn't apply. Maybe it's only called by the Tanakh gilulehem golol. In the case when it became Nesa Bahanoa, because in that sense it decayed. It's interesting, the Torah says, Bahoyo Bishamo, that you people have seen a lot of Avodah Zarah. People that go to universities and they study all kinds of Trefer things. You live in New York City, you see all kinds of strange people. You read the newspapers, the magazines, you see all kinds of things. So the Torah says, so you have to be very careful, even if right now it's very annoying and it's very disgusting. Now we have the feeling that she could say Megiluleim, over the course of years it may grow on you, and you may, it's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu tells me, so that she could say Megiluleim, and the Jews all agree that if she could say Megiluleim, and he's still warning them not to worship Avodah Zarah. Why? Because even though now it appears to you, your attitude is that it is she could say Megiluleim, but it can grow on you and you can already develop a taste for it. You'll start to enjoy it. So he warns and he warns again, you have to be very careful. But it's strange, the pasuk says in Yud Ches, why should he bless himself? And the Hispael, he should bless himself. Lema Shalom Yihi Yeli. Sounds as if he's bragging. He's bored. He's bragging about the fact that he worships Avodah Zarah. So it just means that he blesses himself that nothing will happen to me. So in the Har Tzvi on Chumash, they have different comments there. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said it. The others said he used to sit and talk in Yir Atika. He had a little Beis Medrash. They have one of the yeshivas meets there in his Beis Medrash now. So he used to talk and learning, and they had a whole room full of rabbanim, like in a circle, and they would all give comments. So he quotes, apparently he wrote in his notes, but this one said what the other one said, what he said, and what he said himself, what everybody said. That's what happened when people would come with a shayla. They would be sitting and talking around, and people would come with a shayla, and they would present the shayla. So one rabbi would give a suggestion, another rabbi would give a suggestion, another rabbi, and they would go around in a circle, and he would give al kulam. He would listen to what everybody said, and he would give his final decision. It's interesting. He has in his tshuva sometimes he writes like that. This one said, and the other one said, because we're all sitting around as the shailas were being worked out. Very fascinating. So he writes his own interesting comment. Moshe l'madav adayme. That in Europe there were many Jews on the Chalei Shabbos, unfortunately, before the Second World War, still on. So a religious Jew comes over to the Jew who has his store open on Shabbos and he says, Gival Gishin, terrible, how do you keep the store open on Shabbos? Chalei Shabbos, terrible. So he says, I'll rectify it, don't worry, I'll rectify it. It'll turn out good in the end. So what does he do? It turns out good in the end. After Shabbos is over and he made the $100 during the course of the day, he goes to Apushke and he donates $15 to the JNF, whatever, Karen Kayamas and so on. He's not going to donate to a yeshiva. This kind of a Jew is going to donate. So he says, you see, it was worth being Mechal Shabbos all day. I made $100, I was able to give $18 tzremol chai to the Karen Kayamas. If I would have been closed the whole day, I wouldn't have been able to give any money. So he says, that's what a lot of people do. They do Averis and then they say, they're going to do something later on. The Avera enabled them to do a mitzvah later on, and then they're going to brag about the fact that his baruch will vava lema shalom yili. I did a big mitzvah. It's not for the fact that I did the Avera. I wouldn't have had the ability to do the mitzvah later on. So that's what the Torah says, that we shouldn't make such cheshbon. That's a mitzvah bo Avera. If the person only has the ability to do the mitzvah because of the fact that he did it Avera. So that kind of a mitzvah. One is not yaitzik. That's a mitzvah bo Avera. In the davening on Yom Kippur, when we say the vidui, anybody have a siddur? At the end of the vidui, we say, how do you like that? This is Yom Kippur Gemasa. Wow. We say vidui for those averes that we are aware of, the averes that we have forgotten about, we don't even know, we never knew about. Those that we are aware of, we have admitted, and we have as it says in Parashas Nitzavim, Hanisoros Hashem Elokeinu. So the one who wrote this Nusach HaTfilah, Stama from the Amoroi, Stama Tanoim, Amoroi, Manshek Nesach Gdol, whoever, the one who wrote the Nusach HaTfilah obviously understood the pasuk to mean, and the Torahs and Niglos are referring to Averis that we are aware of and we are not aware of. And the Torah is the Averis that they're Nistah from us, the Averis that we don't even know about, Lashem Elokeinu, we hope and pray that Rabbi Shalom should forgive us. And Niglos, and those Averis that we are aware of. So that's our, we can't just ask from the chila. It's our responsibility to do tshuva. We have to straighten ourselves out. If we're not going to do tshuva and straighten out, so the Baruch Hashem is not going to forgive. But on the Torah, those that we're not aware of, is L'Hashem Elkeinu, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgive us. That apparently is the pshuta shel mikra. But then the Gemara in Sanhedrin has, Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk in ganz in a different taich. Hanistoris v'haniglos, not referring to the averis that I did, whether I'm aware of what I did or I am not aware of what I did. No, it's talking about kol yisal ha'reivim zed v'zed, the averis that someone else did. Am I to be held responsible for the averis that he did? That he knows about. He knows that he did averis, but I don't know what he did. So it says hanistora is the averis that the other people do that I don't know anything about. How do I know what he does in his kitchen? What he does in his private home? How do I know what he's doing? So Hashem okay, the Rabbi Shalom will have to punish him or whatever. Yes, punish, not punish. That's the Rabbi Shalom's job. But as far as the averis that other people do that we are aware of, that's our responsibility. This is the mocker. The Gemara says this is the mocker of the principle of kol yisal ha'reivim zed v'zed. Hanigla is lonel v'neinu arelam lasos kol tibat lasos. What do you mean lasos? According to the Pasha Pshat, Lasos, the Pasha Pshat that appears from the Siddur, Lasos means to keep the mitzvahs. According to the Drashas Chachamim, the additional level of interpretation, Lasos means like God Lahamasa Yosem and Isa, get Musa. Lasos means to force other people to do, to see to it that other people don't do Averis, to be Koifal HaMitzvahs. That's the marker of the din. Call Yisrael Arabians ever there. And the Gemara says, well, how come it has the 11 Nekudas? Nicholas Long of Banana Adolam Lassai, so the Gemara says, because Midazu was not Mehegas Meyoilam Adolam, it wasn't always so, the Kali Sala Arabians ever there. The whole din of Arbus only began, Mishav Yisrael Sayardin, and Kibla Lame, the Brochus, the Clovis, and Hagrizim and Harabel. After the Kris is Gris and Hagrizim and Harabel, then the din of Arbus began. But that's not the Pshut Ushal Mikra, that's a Drashas Chacham. It's an additional level of interpretation in the Tosfos. So this is sort of the close of the Teicheche. Teisus in Baba Basra quotes from the Rabbeinu Nissim Goyen, a whole discussion. The Gemara says, Ezra made a tapana that you should lay in the Teicheche in the Kukaisai before Shavuos and the Teicheche in Kisava before Rosh Hashanah. So Teisus asks, that Nitzav Vayelech, they quote the Rabbeinu Nissim Goyen as a question, Nitzav Vayelech has such short sedras, according to the Vilna Goyen, it's one sedra. So why do we so often break up Nitzav Vayelech? This year we have together. Why do we break up Nitzav Vayelech? When we put Matas Masa together, it's such long sedras. Why don't we have Matas Masa should be separate, Nitzav Vayelech should be together. Then it'll turn out that we'll lay in Kisava right before Rosh Hashanah, like the Takana says. So they have two answers. So one answer they quote from the Rabbeinu Nissim Goyen is the Tosfos answer is that we don't want to have Tichel Hashanah v'Kiel Hashel, we spoke last week, we don't want to have the Klol immediately the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah or the Shabbos before Shavuos. So we want to have a break, we want to have a breather. So that's why we have Parshas Bamidbar was always the Shabbos before Shavuos, and Parshas Nitzavim or Nitzav Vayelech is always the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. They don't have Kisavah, the Teichel, the Klol is immediately before Rosh Hashanah. But first they quote the Rabbeinu Nissim, going to give a different answer. So he says that the Takana says that requires that the Teichel and Kisavah should be read before Rosh Hashanah, means the entire Teichecha from the beginning to the end. The Teichecha is not finished till you read Nitzavim. Because when you look at the parallel Teichecha in the Kukaisai, so you have all the, first they have the Brachas, then you have the Klolos, then at the end of the Klolos, the Golos comes to an end. And then it says, Kodesh Baruch will bring us back there. So everything will go on the shine. Here, when you read the Teichecha in Kisavoy, it just ends within Kartam Shamla, Vadam Shachas, Venkon, Eilu Dibra Bris. It doesn't even have the Nechama at the end. So that's not a complete Teicheche. So the completion of the Teicheche is over here in this Sedra, and Parshas Nitzav. He says, Atem Nitzav Ayon Kulchem Liyav Lechabi Bris Hashem Elokech. What Bris? The Bris. Eile Divya Bris. That was the Bris in Kisavah. Eile Divya Bris is the Teicheche. And then the conclusion of the Teicheche is after Revi, where we stopped the Kriyas HaTorah this morning, the next Talib, Oyeki Yavoy Alecha Kaladron Ve'elah Abrocha Vaklola. Shabbat Ara Hashem Elokecha, Veshamata Bekodah, Veshav Hashem Elokecha, Shibuscha, Yiyad Yidacha, Vetzeah Hashemayim, Heviach Hashem Elokecha, Al-Horet, Mol Hashem Elokecha, Slavokha, you come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Nechome, the end of the Teichecha. That's what the Rabbeinu Nissim Goyen suggests. The Teichecha disagrees with the Rabbeinu Nissim Goyen, have rise from the Gemara that it's not correct. That's not part of the Teichecha. The Teichecha is really finished in Kisav. So that's the theme, even if the Gemara holds it is not right, but that's obviously the Hemshire. It is the Hemshire of the Teichecha. Alpidin, the Teichecha is finished in Kisavai, but this is the follow-up to the Teichecha. This is the Nechame that follows the Teichecha. So the Baruch Shalom promises that, like the Rambam writes, Kvar Hivticha HaTorah Shesofen Shal Yisrael Asas Tshuva, that ultimately the Jewish people will do Tshuva. That's what it says, this parsha. V'shov Hashem Elokecha Shibuscha. Why does it say Veshov? Rashi says from the Gemara, V'hoyol alichtov, V'heishi v'shvuscha, Rabbisein alam demikam, K'vayochosh hashkinu shirui Yisrael, V'tzoras galusim. This is Golos Hashkinu, the idea of Golos Hashkinu. When the Baruch Shalom sends the Jewish people into Golos, he himself goes into Golos as well, K'vayochosh. What exactly does that mean? It's a very unclear concept. The Chidor, in his commentary on the... not the Chidor. One of the other Achrayim have that he also has a commentary on the Yan Yankov. One of the other Gedolim has a commentary on the Yan Yankov. At the end of Ksubis, the last paragraph in Ksubis has a comment on this concept of Golos Hashkina, what does it mean? So he says we have a din of Masechas Makis from the Chumash that if a person is a Harik Bishgavva, he has to go to the Ari Mikvah. So it says in the pasuk Vachai Shomo, you should live there. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you should live there? It should be a comfortable living. So how do you have to make it comfortable? So the Gemara says, Talmud Shagolo Maglin the Rabbo Imo. If it's a Talmud in a yeshiva who killed B'Shoigeg and he goes into Golo, so you have to establish a yeshiva for him, either his Rebbe or his mother Rebbe, to go give Shiurim there, because as the Rambam describes in Hilchos Ritzeta Shmiras Nefesh, where a person is into learning, to be missing the Shiur is like he feels that he's dead, he feels that he's not living. So it's a lack in V'chaisham. So there is a din when a person, whenever anyone has to go into Golos, when does one have to go into Golos? So you don't have to make it miserable for him, he doesn't have to suffer there. No, it's bad enough that he goes into Golos, but you have to make it as comfortable as possible. That's a din v'chai shama. You have to make it as comfortable as possible. So here also, that's what some Achrayim say. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends B'nai Yisrael into Golos, he doesn't really want us to suffer too much. He wants us to suffer for our averus. But then v'chai shama. So in order that it should be v'chai shama, maglan l'rabo ima. So the Shechina comes to the Golos also. We're the Talmud and he's the Rebbe. So the Shechina comes into the Golos to keep us company. That's the question. How long is the Shechina in the Golos? The Shechina is still in the Golos. If they let us go to Eretz Yisrael, some of the Shechina is not in the Golos. Some of the Shechina went back already. If we all have a prayer to go back, to the Shechina. Let's say the Kohen Gadol died already. And the Ritzach likes it there. He enjoys. They have other people living there in Miklat also, not just the Ritzach. They have regular stores. They have shopkeepers. But what's going to be? When God will die, everyone's going to leave. So it's going to be a ghost town. So obviously they have a luncheonette. They have a cafeteria. They have a drugstore. They have all the regular a library. They have whatever you need to make life comfortable. So you have normal people living there. So what if the Ritzach, the Talmud HaYeshiva, the Ben HaYeshiva loves it there as a private shiur with the Rebbe, no one else? And then the Kohen Gadol dies. So the Rebbe has to stay as long as the Talmud is in the Talmud. Not. As soon as the Kohen Gadol dies and the Talmud is allowed to leave, so the Rebbe will go back. He's not mechuyav to stay there. The Talmud and the Shechina went back also. How long is the Shechina going to hang around here? If we have the Brera to go back there, it's the Talmud and the Shechina went back. The Kohen Gadol died already a long time ago. We can go back there, it's Yisrael. The Heviyacha Hashem Elokecha Ha'aretz Hashiyosh Avistecha B'Yirishto is going to give us back Eretz Yisrael. He'll bring us back. The Hitivcha B'Hir B'Chami Avistecha will even have it better than our forefathers had. And what was in Bayis Sheni, they had it better than the forefathers. So the Pashup Shat is referring to the Bayis HaShlishi. This Havtocha was not yet Miskaima. The Yerushalmi, quoted here by the Torah Mimo, Yerushalmi has a famous comment. Chaim says that this Yerushalmi is a mocker for the Rambam. Yerushalmi has a comment on this pasuk that this haftocha was even this kaimo of its kufas by sheni. What sense was it? Vehitivka v'hibachomi avsecha. They had nothing. They had no self-government until the days of the Chashmonoim, and they were under, and then later they were under oppression the whole time. The Greeks and the Romans, everything was terrible, and there was the by sheni miskasa chamisha dvarim. So what was vehitivka v'hibachomi avsecha? In what sense? It's like the Navi promised when they were building the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Navi Chagai said, I think, the second Beis HaMikdash is going to be much greater than the first. It's going to outshine the first. What sense did it outshine first? So in the beginning of Bava Basra, there's Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. One Madama says it was a little taller. The other Madama says it lasted 10 years longer. It wasn't really Godel, it wasn't really greater. It's a little unclear what that Nevo means. It is also, how can this refer to the Bayis Hashem? So Yerushalmi says there was one aspect, like over there, Rabbi Shmuel said there was one aspect where that pasuk was fulfilled, Godli Yekod, HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron. The Zohar says, HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron refers to the third Bayis, not to the second. Not to the second. It says, Godli Yekod, HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron. The third Bayis is the Hemshech of the second Bayis. So they began the building of the third bayis by building the second bayis. So the Novi is really prophesying on the third. He says, Goliath Kod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron hyphenated. This is not the Achron, this is the second bayis that Chagai was in the midst of the building. But he says, this is the Haskal of the third, and the third will be greater. But in order to fulfill Pshuta Shal Mikro, so Rabbi Shmuel said in the beginning of Bava Basra, there was one aspect where Alpi Pshuto, even in the second bayis HaMikdash Gufa, was Neskaima, either taller or it lasted longer. So here also, the Pshuta Shal Mikro in this Pasuk in chapter Lamed here is that it's referring to the Kufa that's yet to come. It's going to be better than it ever was. That it's going to be, it's on its way. It's not yet come. But to fulfill perhaps the Pshuta Shal Mikro, that it even refers to the Kufa's Vaishenis, so the Gemara in Yerushalmi has a din Your forefathers in the days of Yeshua ben Nun didn't become obligated to observe the mitzvah atlois baret until the 14 years were over, till after the Shevish Kipshu, the Shevish Chilka, because there was not yet the Kedushas Haaretz. You had to have the Gemara Kibush, like the Kibush Bachaluka. The Atem, and when they came back in the beginning of the days of Ezra Nechemin, there was no Kibush at all. There was no Chalukah, there was no Kibush. They were under the control of the Melech Bavel. They weren't under, they didn't have any autonomous government at all to the days of the Chashmonaim. So they became the Schaibu B'mitzvah Satliyiz Baret, Teku Chamiyah, the Hitivcha, the Hirvcha Miyah V'secha. They didn't have to wait till after Kibush V'chiluk. If they would have had to wait, they'd have to wait till after the Chashmonaim, and then they still didn't make a Chalukah. They never made a Chalukah. So they would have never been the Schaibu. That's what the Yerushalmi says on this pasuk. And that's what the Rambam writes, that we taskin Allah HaLamayisah, Rov HaRishayin taskin Allah HaLamayisah, that the Kedusha Rishayin of Eretz Yisrael that was created by the Kibush B'chiluk in the days of Yishuv Benun was Batla. It was only Kitchel Lishayit, but not Kitchel Aslam. But the Kedusha Shniya over Eretz Yisrael that was created by Yidei Ezra and Nechemia, all the Chachmei Hador, who got the Jews to move back to Eretz Yisrael, so that Kedusha was everlasting. That was Kitchel Lashayit and Kitchel Aslam. Why should there be a difference? So the Rambam says that the first Kedusha was Ayidei Kibush. So in the days of Churban, the days of Nebuchadnezzar, when there was the Churban HaMedina and the Churban HaOretz, so the Kibush was undone. So the Mekadosh was undone. So the Kedusha was undone. But in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, the Kedusha was Chal, not Ayidei Kibush. Ayidei Chazoke. It's a different thing. There was no Kibush. There was no Kibush till the days of the Chashmonaim, and then there was no Chalukah. So there was no Kibush B'chilik, it was Behitivcha B'hirvcha M'yavisecho. Yerushalmi says, Al-Pipshuta, it even refers to the Tkufas B'aisheni, that they were Neskaibu M'yad B'mitzvah L'gvor. So what was the Mekadosh? The Chazoke. So the Chazoke said, that cannot be undone. Any area, that's Rav Chaim is quoted as having explained. The Gemara discusses, the Tkufas HaTanoim, they were discussing what was the status of Surya. Whether mitzvah satlis baret apply in Surya min haTorah successful in mikdashit min haTorah or not? So Rav Chaim asks, "Lamai nach kimin? Am I to have that ancient history? The whole Eretz Yisrael was mikdash idei Yeshua ben Nun, and the whole kedusha was in Batlo at the time of Churban Hamadina idei Nebuchadnezzar, and then they had to be mikdashit again the second time. So whatever happened in the days of David HaMelech, ancient history, forget about it. There was over a bottom in Olam. The question is now, when they came back in the beginning of Bayis Sheni." The Omekadosh Idei Chazaka. So what happened in Syria? Were the Jews living in Syria? Were they not Jews living in Syria? So Rav Chaim asks, what does the Gemara say that the Machlekes Tatanoim, whether it's Syria Bizman Atanoim, they're not talking Bizman Dovra Melo, Shlomo, talking Syria Bizman Atanoim, was it Chayv and Shumas and Maisis Menatarim and the Rabbanon, that it depends whether Kibush Yochash Mekibush Lash Mekibush, Lamay Nafkimina, even if it was Mekibush, it was in this battle, the issue should really be whether the Oilei Bovel in the days of Ezra Nechemia, whether they made a chazak in that area, whether they moved in or not. So that's what Rav Chaim says. Any area that never had a Kedusha Rishayna, let's say now, Haranor Gadol Nahar Prat, Eretz Yisrael is going to be, there's going to be Keni Knesi Kadmoni coming along. So we're going to have to be Mekadosh that. So how you have to be Mekadosh that? It's going to have to be a Kibush Rabbim. You can't make a Kibush Yochid, it won't be Mekadosh. So we'll have to, that's going to be the Kedusha Rishayna. You're not going to say it doesn't have the status of Kedusha Shniyah. It's only called Kedusha Shniyah, and that area which once had a Kedusha Rishayna, and Kedusha Rishayna was wiped off, it was in his batla, so then to reawaken the Kedusha Rishayna, that it should be Chayz of an ear, so that's maspik, Ve'tivcha V'hirvu Chom Yavisecha, that's enough with the Chazokah. The Jews just move in, so it's going to be Kitchel Otsi Lova. But in any area that was never in the Kaddish with Kedusha Rishayna, then it's not going to have, it'll have to have Kedusha Rishayna now. So that's what Rav Chaim explains. Obviously the Jews, the Gemara says the Jews did move into Syria. If they didn't move into Syria, there's nothing to discuss. Habar is going to Kaddish. Obviously the Jews moved into Syria and they made a Chazaka, but the question is, they can only be, but they never made a Kibush V'chiluk. And even B'tkufas HaChashmonaim, when they had self-government, there was Kibush, there was an independent Jewish government, there was no Chalukah. So you can't say that they made the Mekadosh of Kibush V'chiluk Bizman Ba'isheni in Syria. No. The only thing they made was Chazok in Syria. Like the rest of Eretz, they made Chazok and they never made Kibush V'chiluk. So the question is, Chazok is only valid to reawaken the old Kedusha that it once had before. So that's why the Tanaim had a debate, what was the din in the days of David HaMelech? If Surya was Kayiv Min HaTorah, if it once had a Kedusha Rishonah D'Oraita, even though it was Nizbatla Bizman Nebuchadnezzar, we can reawaken the Kedusha now with the Chazakah that we made when the Jews moved in Bizman Ezra Nehemiah. But if it never had a Kedusha Rishonah because Kibush Shachat Lashmei Kibush, then you cannot reawaken any Kedusha. It was never awake to begin with. You have to have a new Mekadosh now. Now it's going to be a Kedusha Rishonah. Kedusha Rishonah now. Bizman Bayisheni. There never was any Kibush Mechilik at all. Bizman Bayisheni. That's what Abchaim explains the Pshat in the Gemara. Which mitzvah is this referring to? So there are three different pshatim over here. Basha pshat is referring to kol ha-tara kulo, all the mitzvahs. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos, all the mitzvahs. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash claims that it's referring to the mitzvah of tshuva, because he keeps on talking here. V'shavto ad Hashem alokecha v'shamata b'kolo ki soshav al Hashem mo lo Hashem alokecha t'lubovcha v'zivavza arach liyava ato soshav v'shamata. Keep on saying five times the verb tshuva, the Medrash point says it's five times the loshon tshuva. It says ki ha-mitzvah hazos, the mitzvah of tshuva. That's what the Bali Musa say there. That's the answer to Taisus Kasha. They go to the Kasha of Snarab and Nisim Goyen. Why don't you lay Nitzavah before Rosh Hashanah? Like Ezra made a Takana, why are we mafsik with Nitzavah? They say because Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the Aseret and made Tshuva. So you want to read the Parshas Nitzavim that has about Tshuva. You can't mitzvah say, it's a mitzvah Tshuva. He's not saying five times about Tshuva. That's what the Ramban says, that it's easy, it's within your reach. Korve Elach Adavam Yod, B'ficho, V'vavcha, La'asoso. You can do Tshuva, what does it mean? B'ficho, to recite Vidui. V'ficho uvilvavcha, the ikar is that the person recites vidui and he didn't really do tshuva in his heart. But that's the Rambam quotes from the Gemara. That's like Teufel v'sheretz v'yodei. So it's referring, the Ramban says, it's referring to vidui, it's referring to tshuva. V'ficho uvilvavcha l'asos. And the Rambam quotes a third level of interpretation on the cross. It could be that all three are correct. Gemara says, shivim palam l'ater. It can have on one cross, it can have many different levels of interpretation. You have human beings who write books like that have more than one meaning. They have an obvious meaning, then they have a hidden meaning. Sometimes they have two hidden meanings. So the Rebbeinu Shlom wrote a sefer, he dictated a sefer to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it has 70 levels of interpretation. Shivim Panim Latar, and anyone given pasuk, and they're all good. They're all intended by the author. It was all the kavan of the Rebbeinu Shlom when he dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam quotes a third interpretation that this pasuk is speaking about HaMitzvah Zayt, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Loi nefleitim imkov loi bashamayim hi balagayva will not be matzliach and learning. Here the Torah Tmim, of course, all these are goddesses. From the Gemara in Erevin. My loi bashamayim hi that one is the God's Ruach will not be matzliach and learning. Loi me'evel ayam. If a person is going to be traveling over the oceans for business purposes and he's going to take his Mishnayos with him, he's going to learn his Daf Yomi, very nice. That will be a Zera Flume Balabas. He can't expect to be a great Talmud Kocher. Loi Meivel Ayamhi. A person is in business, cannot expect to become a big Talmud Kocher. We want the people to go to business also, but if you want to know who's the big Talmud Kocher, it's the one who puts all of his time and effort and energies into learning. Everyone has it within their reach if they're interested, if they're cut out for that. Not everyone is cut out for it. For those who are cut out for it, if one interprets like the Rambam, like the Gemara in Erevin, the Malach, where is it? Nunhei. Erevin Nunhei. The Gemara has this level of interpretation also that it's referring to Liman HaTorah. So what does this mean? Beficho uvilvavcho. So they quote from the Brisker Rav a comment that the Rambam in the beginning of the if I'm not mistaken in Hagdamah to the Yad HaZok, he quotes this pasuk as referring to the two different aspects of the Torah Shebal Peh. One aspect of the Torah Shebal Peh is Halachas L'Moshe Misina. We have tradition, what the din is, in fact that's all, that's the ficho. You just have to say over the din what the tradition is. We have Torah Shebal Peh that you don't need the ficho, that's written. Then you have the Vavcha, whatever the oral traditions were that we transmit to the next generation. Then you have that's the Sikha. Then you have Bilvavka. The Midrash HaTorah and the Drash Hashem, that in every generation the Talmidei Chachamim should behold of Ador Darshan the Torah, the way they understand, the way they see that the Torah is speaking to us. So the Pasuk B'Ficho, the Rambam has like that, and Hagdom, I think, to the Yad HaHazoka, B'Ficho, V'Vavcho, La'Soso. What does it mean, La'Soso? If it's referring to Liman HaTorah, La'Soso. That's what the Netziv has common. He has this on at least 100 psukim. La'Soso means to make Chidusha Torah. The Matan Torah, in Yiddish, that was the expression, the Matan Torah. So he claims that that's the Pasha Pshat in many psukim. Lil Moda Lalamed Lishmor V'Lasas. He says Lasas means to be Mechadish Torah, to come up with Chidusha Torah.
That's just a blessing, it's not just the people
that put out for it. Yeah, for every person, Kifi Madre Gosa. Okay. But if the Pasuk is speaking about Lo Me'ever La'yam, that it doesn't, that the Torah will not be given to the people who travel over the ocean for business. There are many great Talmid Chacham who do travel ocean for business. But it means that the Ikam is serious, our Torah is not to them. We want them to learn also. Yeah. Pasuk says that the beginning of Vayela, the Moshe Rabbeinu goes to visit Bnei Yisrael, and he says, he's krechting, says he's not going to last long, he's going to die. Then maybe Hashem Shana Nechayam, he says he's going to die today. Luchalal Lotus Velova. What do you mean Luchalal Lotus? Says Vayela, he walked. What do you mean Luchalal Lotus? Says Lakasa Ainu Velo Naslecha. Says that Moshe Rabbeinu was very healthy the day that he died. What does it mean Luchalal Lotus Velova? The Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Lotus Ulava Badivre Torah. He's not able to, he doesn't have the same care. Physically he was ganz good. But mentally he wasn't the way he was before. Malamish and Istmu Mimeno Masuris and Mayonas Achokma. It's like a Mayon. The whole lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu was like a Mayon Hamizgab. He's always coming up with new ideas, new ideas, new ideas. Midash Alfem Rishmem. Like the Ficho Bilvavko. That was Bilvavko. He was always, his heart was always coming up with new dinim. Mayan Hamasgaba, and now he didn't, he felt that he doesn't have that. It was Nistam Menu minus Hachachma. That's how a lot of Mephoshim say. He no longer was like a mayan. Doesn't mean that he forgot all of his learning. He was no longer like a mayan. So I saw one of the Balei HaTesis comments on this Mevish. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that to Moshe Rabbeinu? Because he was told to appoint Yeshua ben Nun and to that the people should respect him. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused this nest to occur. He was really physically able. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Pines caused him to lose that Koyach HaChidish, that he shouldn't be like a Mayan Hanazeh anymore, in order that he shouldn't have any kinna, in order that he shouldn't have any harsh feelings or sad feelings about the fact that he's appointing Yeshua ben Nun. If he would have been still in his death condition, what is he appointing Yeshua ben Nun? Yeshua ben Nun is nothing compared to him. Although this Kedem Shabbatar saw that Moshe Rabbeinu is like Tanei Chama, Yeshua ben Nun was like Tanei Levana. That he would be heartbroken that he's giving over the leadership. He's going to be manig of Klal Yisrael. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu caused it, that he should no longer have the Koyach HaChidish. Now he shouldn't have the Mayan Hanavea anymore. That he should see that it is necessary to appoint Yeshua ben Nun. Then Moshe Rabbeinu gives him a drush in front of Klal Yisrael. He gives the charge, he gives over the charge to Yeshua ben Nun in the presence of all the Bnei Yisrael. This was in fulfillment of the tzibur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, Enoch Chumash Bamidbar, Parshas Pinchas. But it says, V'tzivisa oso li'einehem. He was told to appoint Yeshua ben Nun in front of Bnei Yisrael, that they should know that he's really Samech Olaf. This guy, I give him smicha, and he knows how to learn, he knows how to paskin, and he's going to paskin for the next generation. And I'm going off Yenadel. I'm going away. You make sure you listen to him. So that's why he was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, "Tzivisa oser li'einehem." He should appoint them. They shouldn't say, "Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu died, so this guy's taken over. Who is he? He doesn't know how to learn." So Moshe Rabbeinu has to appoint him in the presence of an Israel. So he tells him, "Chazak v'yamos ki atos avoya so'om azeh." The Targum Rashi quotes from the Targum Unklis. You will go together with the people. Later on, when at the end of the parsha, when Hashem speaks to Yeshua ben Nun, he also gives him a pep talk. He also gives him divrei muster. Hashem tells him, "Ki ata savi et ha'am hazeh." The same thing, and instead of the verb being kasavoy, it says ata savi. What's the difference between the two? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the first paragraph. There's a difference. Atos Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Atos savoy et ha'am hazeh." Atov haskenim shebedar yiyu imach. You should go imha mazeh together with the other talmidei chachamim. As if Moshe Rabbeinu says, look, as long as I was running the show, I didn't have to consult anybody else. I am a super genius. I know kol ha'Torah kula inside out, upside down. But I'm dying, and you're going to take over. You don't know nothing. So make sure that you consult with all the other talmidei chachamim, because you're very shvach and learned. That's what it sounds like. Atosov hamazeh imha mazeh kenim shebedar yiyu imach. You should consult the others. Then the Baruch Shalom says, no, atasavi atamazeh, tul makel v'hach al kot kodam. Take a stick and bop them over the head. Dabarech l'dor, v'ein shnei dabar l'dor. You have to have one man in charge. We can't have a presidium. You can't have a group of people that are going to consult. Baruch Rabbeinu is wrong. That's the Pasha Pshat. The Baruch Shalom tells you, Shubinun, don't listen to what the Rebbe said. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You run the show all by yourself. That's what it sounds like. The Biskirov is quoted as yes, and so it doesn't make sense. So why did the Chumash have to write the mistake that Moshe Rabbeinu made? And then the Baruch Shalom had to correct him. So leave out the mistake. Just write the Baruch Shalom said, "Atosavi yosamazet." So he says, no, it's not a mistake. Not that the Baruch Shalom was telling Yeshua Nun, don't listen to the Rebbe, he made a mistake. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu had a double function. Like here in the Yeshiva, when Dr. Belkin passed away, so he was both the president of the university and he was officially the Rosh Hashiva. Because when Dr. Revel passed away, he was officially appointed the Rosh Hashiva by the students. The students appointed him as the Rosh Hashiva. And then there was a Pilpul later who should be the president, back and forth, back and forth. So it turned out, accidentally turned out, they also appointed him as the president. But the people who appointed him as the Rosh Hashiva, a lot of them didn't want to appoint him as the president because they felt that making him the president would ruin him. He would become always Rosh Hashiva. And ultimately it did. As the institution was growing, so he became Moshe Rosh Hashiva. He officially maintained the title, but he stopped saying Shir, and he was never here. He was running around the world raising money. So then, so you have two different positions. You have so. Dr. Belkin passed away, so the members of the university board, they didn't ask the students anymore, they got smart. So the university board appointed Dr. Lehm as the president of the university, and the members of the Reeds board appointed the same individual, Rabbi Lehm, Alfi Mikra, to be the Rosh Hashiva, officially. So that's what the Briskerov says, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, he had a double function. He had the status, he was the Rosh Hashiva. He was the Rosh HaSanhedrin, and he was also the Melech. It happens to be that he was also the Melech. How do you know he was the Melech? So he quotes from the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Malachim. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Melech. He bishur a Melech. The Medrash says he refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Many sources like that. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Melech. When he's passing away, he's giving over both positions to Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun is becoming the Rosh Yeshiva. He's becoming the Rosh HaSanhedrin. The Rambam writes that the Nasi hu anikra Rosh HaYeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva means the chief of the Sanhedrin. Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin writes that Rosh. Hu anikra Rosh HaYeshiva. Because the Sanhedrin was called a yeshiva. The purpose of the Sanhedrin was to have it was like the international kollel of Klal Yisrael. The purpose of the Sanhedrin was not so much, the Rambam writes in the opening halacha and Hilchos Mamrim, the function of the Sanhedrin was not so much to pasken shailas, not really. The function was to maintain the tradition of the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's how the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim. They're supposed to maintain the tradition of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So it was a yeshiva. It was the international kollel of Klal Yisrael. And the Rosh HaSanhedrin, the Rambam says, Hu anikra Rosh HaYeshiva. He's the head of that yeshiva. Which yeshiva? The Sanhedrin of the yeshiva. So here, Yeshua ben Nun is being appointed in two roles. He's being appointed as the Rosh HaYeshiva. The Rosh HaSanhedrin is being appointed as the Melech. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not so interested in politics. Moshe Rabbeinu was really interested in learning. So he says, I'm appointing you, Rabbi Shalom told me to appoint you, I'm appointing you the Rosh Yeshiva. And he says, Chazak amat katastrofoi es ha'om hazeh im amadeh together. Ukenim shebedo yiyu imach. When you have a shayla, consult the others and come up with a psak altogether. He's talking about the learning aspect. The Rabbanu Shalom wasn't mechulak with Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbanu Shalom says, but you also, he appoints your shomanun, but you also have another role that you're going to serve as the melech. When you're serving as the melech, then dabar echad l'dor v'ein shnei dabar v'dor, consult with everybody. Tul makel v'hachal kod kodem. The Torah is melech. You should make all the decisions on your own. You shouldn't have majority rule. You should consult people, but then don't take it. It's not a democracy. It's a kingdom. So you're the king, and you make the final decision. When it comes to learning, so then he says, Moshe Rabbeinu was right. You should consult with the others and go baser right. Rabbeinu tells you, Shul Benun, Atot Tzobe Atom Azel Horet Hashinit V'Hashem La Voisam Moseis Lahem V'Atot Tanchileno Oisam. You will do the Chalukah, you will do the Kibush and the Chalukah. V'Hashem Hu HaHoylech Lefonecho. What does that mean? Hashem Hu HaHoylech Lefonecho. The Oren Abris was going in front of the soldiers that were carrying the Oren. In fact, that's what it means, that what was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael days of Yishuv Benun? Kibush, V'chiluk. What do you mean kibush? The kibush of the Jewish soldiers that we mentioned last week. And Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, it doesn't mean the kibush of Tzahal, it means the kibush that was accomplished by the Oren. The Shekhinah. The Shekhinah was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael by doing kibush. The kibush wasn't by Yidei Chayalim. That's the question, how exactly are we going to be Mekadosh Keni Knizi Kadmoni? Better start thinking about it fifth. What's going to be when we want to do the mitzvah Ksuvah Batera to be Mekadosh all the way till you're going to have a Kibush Rab, it's going to be the Kedusha Rishayna. It's not going to be a Kedusha Shniyah that will just have a Chazoka, we'll just move in and take over. You're going to have a Kibush. So how exactly are you going to do the Kibush? Kibush doesn't have to be with blood, sweat and tears. It can be in a peaceful way also. But how is it going to be a Kibush Hashem Hu HaHoylech Lufanecha? How is it going to be a Kibush Al Pi Hashchina like it was the Kedusha Rishayna was a Kibush with the Oren Abris? I guess it's going to have to be a Kruma government. It's going to have to be some kind of a form of Hashem Hu HaElok Lefanecha. You don't have a religious government. So how is that Hashem? That's just Tzahal. Fine, it's a Jewish army, but that's not the Mekadosh. The Mekadosh seems to be that the Shechina with the Aron HaBris, some kind of a Hashuas HaShechina is going to do the Kibush. We'll have to wait and see. Maybe Kerel 7, maybe that'll be it. Then Moshe Rabbeinu gives them the last two mitzvahs. He's about to die, the day that he's about to die gives another two mitzvahs to be mashal of the minyan tayag. He says the one mitzvah is on the sukkis of Matzoi Shemitah, a year from this coming sukkis is the mitzvah of hakel. And the Mefarshim point out that in the days of Yeshua Benun, Bais Rishon, it was an agricultural society, and everybody was a farmer. They didn't have people, business, and all kinds of other things. Everybody was a farmer. So during the Shnas HaShemitah, everybody took off. So what did they do the whole year? They became a sugar man. So in the summer they learned. So at the end of the whole year, they had a big kinus, Torah Shebal Peh, on Chol HaMoed Sukkis, and they said, after all that learning, a whole year's learning from the beginning of Shemitah to the end of Shemitah, now we're going to have a Kriyas HaTorah, and this is going to be it for the next 6 years. I'm going to have another, not Yarche Kala, we're going to have a, Yarche Kala means months of public learning. They had 12 months of public learning. Shnas HaShemitah was a whole year of public, everybody was learning because no one went to, like in Eretz Yisrael, they have Kolel for Balabatim. For retired Balabatim have Kolel. So during Shnas HaShemitah, they had Kolel Balabatim all over the place. No one was working. If it was an agricultural society, so no one could work. So at the conclusion of the Shnas HaShemitah of learning a whole year, so then they had this hakel, the grand mitzvah of hakel, and everybody has to participate. And even though it should really be a mitzvah sefer shazman grom and oshim turis, it says the women have to come. Hakel etam hanoshim hanoshim v'hataf. Shaila, what kind of taf? The Ramban raises the question. Does it mean taf mamish yonke shadayim, tiny little baby, or not? So the Ramban says he would have thought that it means children who can understand what's going on, but young Kishadam, if they don't understand about what's going on, he would have thought that they are not included. But he says the Gemara, the Tanoim, and the Gemara in the beginning of the Chagiga Dav Gimel seem to hold otherwise, because the Gemara says Anoshim Boim Lilmod. Rashi quotes Anoshim Boim Lishmaya. V'Ataf Laman Boim Chagiga Dav Gimel Litnus Chalim Viyem. What do you say? Litnus Chalim Viyem. Zog Ataf Laman Boim Lilmod. The children will also learn if you say that the children have to be children who can understand. So it'll pick up a din here and a din there. When the Melech is reading, what's up there? So it would appear the Ramban says, it would appear from that Lashon of the Gemara, that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said. It appears in Tanoim that the Taf is mamish referring to young Kishadayim, tiny little tats who don't understand anything. And nonetheless, the parents have to bring them to participate in Hakka. Rav Soloveitchik said that Rav Chaim held like the Ramban. He held that that the young Kishadayim are mamish misasik. You don't accomplish anything by bringing them. It cannot be that they're included. I think Gemara says these mukhalim, yeah, it doesn't mean it. It means that they're not bnei chayuver. So you can't say that they come in order to fulfill a mitzvah. At least mukhalim, yeah, it means that they understand. But Rashi says the Feirish, like Rashi holds like the Ramban said, though. Rashi in the first parak in Megillah. The Mishnah says that you don't have hakel on yontif. You have your hakel on the first day Chalam Moed Sukkos. What if the first day Chalam Moed Sukkos happens to be Shabbat, then you have the second day Chalam Moed Sukkos? What's so bad? Why can't you have hakel on Shabbos on yontif? What's so terrible? That's it, you can't. The Rashi on that Mishnah that says that you postpone El Machrim Veloy Magdimim. Some things you have Magdimim and some things you have Yachrim. The Mishnah in the first day can be given. The Rashi says you cannot have hakel on Shabbos. So we have to carry these little babies. So Chanisa Hoytzor. So the Shagzai points that obviously Rashi is talking about tiny little babies. If you're talking about children who are old enough to understand what the Melech is reading, so they can walk on their own. So now she's talking about young Keshadayim, Rashi understands. The only penalty is busted, you can't make an error. Can't make an Erev. The Gemara says they made an Erev in the Yerushalayim. The one Rishon, the Rabbeinu Ephraim says they never made an Erev. There never was an Erev. It's not true. Rashi entices it now. Now there is an Erev in Yerushalayim. Everybody knows there was an Erev in Yerushalayim. So Rashi entices it to Kasha. He says, Kishin pierced the Bapratus. Towards the end of it, it was by Shani when they already had pierces in the wall, so they couldn't make an Erev. But it was Shan Kitikunim earlier. The Rashi entices say that there was an Erev. Now there's an Erev in Yerushalayim. There's only one Rishon Rabbeinu Ephraim. He says not only Yerushalayim, says you can't make an Erev anywhere. Any city. You can't make an Erev in any city. Only little tiny areas, not in the city. But we don't hold like that. So yes, Kashas on Rashi. Yes, Kashas on Rashi. Anyway, that's what Rashi writes. The Yerushalmi doesn't say what Rashi says. Yerushalmi talks about why can't you have the Hakel on Shabbos, why can't you have on Yontif? According to Rashi, why can't you have the Hakel on Yontif? Also, because you can't carry the baby on Yontif, you can't carry the baby either. The Mishnah says the Machlokes Shami Besilu, we pass like Besilu, that you're permitted to carry a baby on Yontif, at least to do a mitzvah for sure. The Rabbeinu Chanan, Tosafot quotes Rabbeinu Chanan on that Mishnah Beitza, means only Tinik Lamuloy. You're allowed to carry a baby to do a bris milah. Tinik L'tayel, to go for a walk in the park, is the Machlokes, the Rabbeinu Chanan holds up. But this Tachmamish Tinik Lamuloy, you carry the baby to fulfill the mitzvah of Hakel. So why can't you do it? Because you can't take him back home. So what do you do when you have Tinat Lamula? Obviously you take him back home also. You're going to leave him there. So you take back the baby after the bris. You take back the baby after the Hakel. So that's what the Yefkan Rashi, the Turiyev and Yefkan Rashi. So he says the Rashi is against the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi gives a different time, not because of the Tinoi. So there's no Raya. Rashi holds the Feirish, that it means Mamish Yonke Shadayim. And you don't see Achayin Neser Satzman because the tiny little baby can't even budge on his own. He can't move on his own. So then there's an Isra Hitzah. But the Yerushalmi is not like Rashi. Yerushalmi says that the reason why you don't have Hakel on Shabbos or Yontif is either because of the Chatzaitris. The Mishnah says in the end of Saita. So when they made Hakel, they used to blow trumpets, they used to blow Chatzaitris. So if it's on Shabbos or Yontif, you're not permitted to blow Chatzaitris. And they didn't want to have Hakel without Chatzaitris. They wanted to have the most dramatic Hakel they can have. So they would postpone it till Chalam Moed. Or the other reason given by the Yerushalmi is Mishum Bimas Ha'eitz, that there would be a Bima. What exactly does that mean? The Rambam and the Raiv at the end of Hilchas Chagiga, the last page in Hilchas Chagiga, give the two reasons. One quotes one reason for the Yerushalmi, one quotes the other reason. Either Mishum Abima or Mishum Ha'chatzaitz. Why they didn't have a Hakel on Shabbos and Yontif? The Bima Shalait, what's wrong? Why couldn't they? What's the problem? They had a Bima Shalait where the Melech would lay in Kriyas HaTorah on. Why can't you have? You can't build a Bima Shalait on Shabbos and Yontif. So why can't you build it before Shabbos and Yontif? Leave it there. So the Pashup Shat in the Yerushalmi is Mishum Doche Ko Azorah. That in the Azorah on Yamim Tovim, there were so many people who came on Shabbos and on Yontif. There were so many people who came. You're going to build a big platform that's going to take up an awful lot of room. So you're taking away from the room. So Deiche Klazara doesn't permit you to leave a bima shaleitz there. And others want to say, not from Tnei Deiche Klazara, but rather, there's a din, that you're not permitted to plant any tree, not only in Asherah Shel Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to plant any trees on the Har HaBayis. And not only are you not allowed to plant the tree, you're not allowed to have any wooden structure, to build any wooden huts, any wooden buildings on the Har HaBayis. Or in the Azorah, for sure, you're not allowed to stay. If they would build a Bima Shaleit, when they had Hakal and Chalamoy, so they put up a Bima Shaleit that day in the morning, and then everybody came, and then right after, like over here, right after graduation, everything comes down on the same day, before the sunset, the whole Bima Shaleit is down. So that's what they did in the Azorah also, because if they leave the Bima Shaleit, I didn't mean to say that it's the Azorah. If they leave the Bima Shaleit there for more than 24 hours, then it may be a violation of the Sita L'Chashera Kaleif, because it's a Binyan Kavua. Like this, if it's only Binyan Aroi for less than 24 hours, so that's not a violation of the Sita L'Chah. But if you leave it for more than 24 hours, I'm going to say that'll be a violation.
If you build it right for Friday afternoon, you take it down to the house.
So that's there for more than 24 hours.
Is it a Shura Bay place?
That's what some of Farshim want to say. In the Mishalmi, I think it says Beferish, Neidoche Kwa'azor. That if you'll build a Bima Shaleit, it'll be eating up too much room for the Azor. Oh yeah? I don't remember. Could be. I don't think so. The Gerach Hashem B'Sherech, everybody has to come. Panoshim, Panoshim, have Gerach Hashem B'Sherech. Who are the Gerach Hashem B'Sherech? Is it Ger Tzedek or Ger Tzayshev? Strange question. Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes from Rabbi Shulei Diskin. It's not so fashion. It could be that it's referring to Ger Tzayshev. What's that to Ger Tzayshev? Ger Tzayshev is not Jewish. Why should we insist that Ger Tzayshev should participate in Hakol? So he has all kinds of suggestions here. It's very unclear. Ben Ezra raises that possibility. The Ger Shebesherech refers to the Ger Toshe. Very strange. Anyway, it's unclear. It's unclear. The Rambam writes that the reading of the Torah by Hakel is supposed to be, why do you have to have a Bima Shaleit? It doesn't say in the Chumash, why do you have to have a Bima Shaleit? So the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchas Chagiga, it should be Zeichel Amayman Hasina. That the Torah was given from an elevated position from on top of the mountain, the people were down below, so too the Hakel is the Melech is representing the Shechina and is reading the Torah. That's why people thought that it was sacrilegious or whatever, that they make a Zeicha LaHakel and they have the president of the Eretz Yisrael, Herzog, read the Sefer Torah, but not the Zeicha LaHakel, but he's representing the Shechina. Be a religious person. Be a religious person. Shema mitzvot. Yeah. So the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchas Chagiga, the Melech is supposed to read from the Sefer Torah as representing the Shechina, and all the people are like a Maimon Hasina. That's what the Zohar says. That all year long, when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, you should really laying Kriyas HaTorah on top of a Bima Shaleit in the shul. It says in the Beit HaMedrash, like over here, that for learning you don't need a Bima Shaleit. All Beit Medrash is for learning. If you have a Beis HaKnesses, so the Achronim quotes from the Zohar, that the proper thing is that you should have a Bima Shaleit that's mukba, that's a higher elevation, that's miyuchat for the Kriyas HaTorah, Zeicha L'Maimon Hasina, that the Torah was given from a higher place. That not only is Hakel supposed to be a reenactment of Matan Torah, the Kriyas HaTorah all year long is also supposed to be a reenactment of Matan Torah. That was one of Rav Soloveitchik's favorite ideas. He used to repeat that all the time. So why is it that you have to say Baruch Hashem Hamvarach before you get an Aliyah? Start! Hashem Baruch Banim Kolam. Start the Baruch Brichas HaTorah. Why do you have to say the Davish of Kedusha? And what puzzled him more was, he told over a story once, that his uncle, remember, Adolva Soloveitchik, came into shul once, Mincha, Shabbos afternoon. He came in a few minutes late, and the Kohen had already said Baruch Hashem Hamvarach, and he was up to the Baruch Hashem Baruch Banim Kolam. So his uncle gave a correction, and he said, oh, he missed Kriyas HaTorah, he's going to have to go to another shul. He yells that the Baruch Hashem Avarach is ma'akid, that you're not yet if you didn't hear Baruch Hashem. So why should it be ma'akid? Why do you say it b'chlal? Why do you say Baruch Hashem Avarach? And you could say Yeshua and Megillah. He writes that even Mizman HaTanoim, that only the Kohen said the Baruch HaShalaponeh, and the last one said the Baruch HaShalachreah, The Gemara says in the days of Rav Shmuel and Bavel, they changed the takana and they instituted that everyone who gets an aliyah should say zom bracha lefanam bracha lacharav. But manatanaim, it says beferish hafisach mivarach lefanam achaisim mivarach lacharav. Only the first one says the bracha shel lefanam, the last one says the bracha shel lacharav. And in between, what it means to get an aliyah, the one who gets an aliyah lanes from the psukim. Because of the Balkari's lanes and so forth. What does he do? He just stands there like an idiot. He doesn't do anything. So that means that he lanes. That was the practice, the institution of a Balkari. That's Bismana Bali Atesis. Atesis quotes that they instituted that. Because there's Shalalabash, it's Misheni Adem. But Bismana Tanoim, Bismana Gemara, the one who got the Aliyah, had the lanes. So the Tren Shua writes a Chiddush that even though the middle people didn't say any Birchas HaTorah at all, but he wants to say that everybody said Birchas Hashem on earth. Epsilon of Vilna claims that he's wrong. In the Binyan Shlomi, he has rice from Nigma, he said, Nishu was wrong. But what's that for such an insistence? Why do you have to have barbers? That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say every so often. That not only is Hakel, Kriya Zatara is only Takan of the Rabbanim, but called the Tikka Rabbanim came, they write the Tikkun. So that has to be patterned after something. So the answer is yes, Kriya Zatara is patterned after Hakel. In fact, one could even assume, safely assume, that even though the Chi of Kriya Zatara is Shedi Machamishi, maybe even Shabbos and Yom, that even if the Kriya Zatara is only the Rabbanim, but the Kiyam of Kriya Zatara is their Raisa. Because the Torah says, of course there's a Kiyum of Talmud Torah, everybody's learning, but the fact that there's such a concept of a Kiyum of Talmud Torah Barabim, Talmud Torah Shvichzah Barabim, that you see from Hakel that there is such a thing. So even though the Chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah is only once every 7 years, on Talamayt Sukkis, or the year following Shemitah, but the Kiyum perhaps is a Kiyum Deraisa all year long, whenever you have Kriyas HaTorah B'tzi, but that would constitute a Kiyum Hakim deraisa. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik quote, just like by Hakel, the Rambam writes explicitly that the whole idea of the Hakel is Zeichel Amamin HaSinai. So the same thing, the Zohar and the Bach, the Achronim, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Bach and from the Achronim, that the Kriyas HaTorah all year long is also like Zeichel Amamin HaSinai, that the one who's reading from the Sefer Torah is like Moshe Rabbeinu, like the Shechina giving over the Torah, and everyone else is receiving the Torah. So at the time of Amamin HaSinai, there was the Gilui Shechina. So too, we consider it Ki'ilu, the word Gilui Shechina, every time we read Kriya Satara, not time of learning. There's a Gilui Shechina this one. There's a Gilui Shechina, you have to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to say some kind of a Dovah Shebikdush. You have to say Baruch Hu Hashem Anver. That was his, if the Shechina is there, oh, Baruch Hu Hashem Anver, here's the Shechina. And now we're going to discuss certain aspects of the Shechina. When you learn Torah, it's considered as if you're studying what the Shechina is all about. The Torah is a description of Elokus. That was next to the last mitzvah of the Taryak mitzvahs. It's the mitzvah of Hakel at the end of Seita. The Gemara discusses some of the details of Hakel. It's very unclear. Very unclear how exactly did they observe the mitzvah of Hakel. How could they squeeze everybody into the Azor? Physically impossible. Remember Rabbi Schwab suggested. So he looked and he looked and he couldn't find any of the curves on the shop in the neighborhood. So he suggested that maybe what they used to do was like this. The melech would lay Kriyas HaTorah and all the people would go by. They would stand for a pasuk, then they'd go by. They'd stand and listen to the pasuk, walk by. Everybody would walk by. But otherwise, you say they're going to stand there for an hour and listen to all Kriyas HaTorah. How can the Azor hold Anoshim, Anoshim, Atah from all over Eretz Yisrael? It's physically impossible. Things that he looked in Josephus, he looked around in the history books in Baishin, he didn't find any description of what Hakel was like. Okay, you can have Musa Machzit Samruba sometimes, but there's a limit, and it's just physically impossible. No, it says that on Yom Kippur, when everybody was Kareya, Mishtach, and Rez Maltren, they only let in so many people into the Azorah. And then those people, let's say now they daven in the Rahavat HaKotel on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Yom Yisrael. So it's very crowded in the Mishtach. Ah, some more time after some Ruvah, fine. So maybe it's not a Midrash twice as many. But to have 1,000 times as many, how is that physically possible? How much to get? What? Each person is going to fit in an eighth of an inch by an eighth of an inch. They're all using slim fit. They're all... yeah. Anyway, it's a question. How does one visualize Hakel? It's a good question. So that was next to the last mitzvah. Then the last mitzvah was the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua, Atu kisva lechem es hashira hazos lamda zbnei Yisrael fima v'fim manti hashira hazos le'ed zbnei Yisrael. So there's a pshutish lo mikro and a drashas chacham, two levels of interpretation. The Pshuto Shel Mikra has it that this pasuk is referring to Shiras Hazino. Is referring to Shiras Hazino. Kisva Lachem Es Hashira Hazos. The Lamda is Bnei Sosim Abifim. And the Netziv points out in his commentary on Chumash that the Ksivas Hazino, the Ksivas Hashira, was different from the Ksiva of the rest of the Torah. The rest of the Chumash was first given to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should deliver the message to Bnei Yisrael. And after he told Bnei Yisrael the dinim, then he was told to write it down. He was fakir, kiswa lachem, and then v'lamda is Bnei Yisrael. First he was told to write it down, and then to teach it to Bnei Yisrael, to reverse the order. That's what they quote B'Shem Rav Chaim. Rav Soloveitchik used to see also B'Shem Rav Chaim, that he said, Rav Soloveitchik said the whole story. That the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, the first part they leave out in all of the Piyashmon. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim that what's the difference between the Nevi'im and Ksuvim? They're both given by Ruach HaKodesh. The Rambam writes that the difference is that Nevuah is on a higher level of Ruach HaKodesh than Ksuvim. The Ksuvim written on a slightly lower level, also by Ruach HaKodesh, but a lower level. So they say the Rav Chaim held that Rambam is wrong. That it's the same level of Ruach HaKodesh, not that Nevuah is higher and Ksuvim is different. The only difference between the two is that Nevuah is Bar Nisvasayim. So Nevuah was originally given to the Navi Almanas to deliver the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, to deliver the message. That's what the job of a Navi is. And after he delivered the message to Bnei Yisrael, then he was told to write it down. First to deliver the Nevuah and then to write it. And Ksuvim, why is it called Ksuvim? Because initially it was Nitam Lehikasev and then to learn from the Ksuvim. Not so much to deliver the message to Bnei Yisrael. So that's what the Netziv says was the difference between the entire Chumash as opposed to the Shiras Hazino. The rest of the Chumash was first Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, first Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, and then he was told to write it down. He had already Chal Hashem Nevuah. Once you deliver it, then Chal Hashem Nevuah. Nevuah means Nivs Vasoy, what you pronounce with your lips. And the Shiras Hazino was different. There he was commanded first to write it, and then to teach it to Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara describes, Kol HaTorah Kula, Moshe Rabbeinu was Oimer, the Kaisev, Moshe Oimer the Kaisev, the Gemara in Menachos. What does it mean, Moshe Oimer the Kaisev? The Taisus says it's a remez from that Gemara to the minig that the Sofrim have, that the Gemara has a din, when you write a Sefer Torah, you're supposed to copy it from another Sefer Torah. So Taisus says that the Sofrim have a minig that they pronounce the pasuk. Let's say he writes Bereishis Bor Elokim, so he says Bereishis Bor Elokim, then he writes Bereishis Bor Elokim. Es Hashemayim Es Haaretz, he pronounces it, then he writes it. So that minig that they pronounce every word from the Sefer Torah that they're copying from before they write it down. This minig is based on, it's a remez for the minig that it says Moshe Rabbeinu Kol HaTorah Kula was Oimer V'Kosev. So Rav Soloveitchik asks, why is it a remez for a minig? It's a good. It's a mocker. It's a gevaldige mocker. Should be marked by the Yevet. What does Tosfos write on that Gemara? Mekan remez l'asmachta to the minig. Why is it a remez? So he said, no, that's not the pshat in the Braise. The Braise, I think, is the Menachos Daf Lamed and Baba Basra in the first pair. The Braisa means a different thing. Moshe Oimer, he delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. And after he delivered the Nevuah, then Kosev. Like the Netziv says, the whole Torah, except for Hazinu, was first delivered the Torah's Nevuah, so it should be Chala and Hashem Nevuah. And then he wrote it down afterwards, Chal Hashem Nevuah. And the last Shemana Pesukim Shabbat Torah, he didn't deliver the Nevuah. Moshe Kosev B'Dema, he didn't. The Gemara draws that distinction. Like the Netziv draws a distinction between Hazinu as opposed to the rest. The Gemara draws a distinction with respect to the Shemana Pesukim Shabbat Torah, the last episode. So this is the Pshuto Shel Mikra and Prosecute Test, Perek Lamed Aleph. He's referring to Shira Sazin. And the Gemara has in Sanhedrin, in the second Perek, and in Menachos Daf Lamed, an additional level of interpretation that it's also referring to writing the entire Torah. Every Jew has an obligation to write the Sefer Torah. Kisva Lachem Es Hashira Hazos. So Shira refers to the entire Chumash. How can you say that every Jew has an obligation? Only the Melech. It says, because the law is Mishnah Torah, says only the Melech has to. The Gemara says, no, that's why Nitzvah Chela L'Sefer Sheni. The Melech has an obligation to write two Svarim. And every Kol Adam Yisrael has an obligation to write one Sefer. That's the question. How do we fulfill that mitzvah b'zman hazeh? So the meaning in Europe always was that from time to time the community would get together and chip in and pay a sefer. They would commission a sefer. Everybody would give a little bit. They would commission a sefer to write a sefer Torah. So many gedolim held in Europe, Pesachim Shuvan Yeridei, quotes this whole the literature, refers it to all the Maamar Kainos. Many gedolim held in Europe that Yigeitz Ksiva Sefer Torah B'Shutzus, because it says Kisvu Lachem, Lashon Rabbim. And the Gemara has a klal in the end of Chulin, the last parak in Chulin. The Gemara has a klal. Whenever it says Lashon Yachid, the mitzvah doesn't apply b'shutfus. Whenever it says Lashon Rabbanan, the mitzvah does apply b'shutfus. Here it says Kisvu Achem to indicate that the mitzvah applies b'shutfus. The other Gedolim said the Sfirei Yesh has a tshuva. Many before the Sfirei Yesh have tshuva. The Sfirei Yesh also has a tshuva. So he says, no, we have no right to darshan psukim on our own. Even though the Gemara gives you the klal, the Gemara says the klal, we have no right even to apply the klal. Maybe this, for some reason or another, the klal doesn't apply. And that's a shaila. Others disagree. I think it's a beautiful thing. I was told that the SOY administration decided to write a certain memory of our salvation. That's very nice. So if the students will chip in, each one will give a pruta. So that was what they used to do in Europe. That's what the Lubavitcher was doing, what they did. The Lubavitcher Rebbe didn't, it wasn't his original idea, Sefer Torah. There was always observed like that in Europe from time to time, to write a Sefer Torah, that everyone should participate and have a chelik in fulfilling the mitzvah. If you hold that Yotai, they should. The shaila whether the women are mechuyev in this mitzvah or not. The Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah that only men are obligated, women are not obligated. So the Shach HaSari disagrees with the Rambam. Why shouldn't women be obligated? The mitzvah says the Shazman Rambam. Why are women not obligated? Because if a woman writes a Sefer Torah, it will be possible, the Gemara says. The Gittin Daf Mem Hei. A woman writes a Sefer Torah, it will be possible. So she'll commission a man to write a Sefer Torah. Unless you say Shlucha Shalom Kemaisa, that's what some Achrayim say. So just like if the woman would have written the Sefer Torah herself, it would have been possible. So if a woman, that's what some people have tainus against the Lubavitcher, that they took money from anybody, men, women, children, Jews, non-Jews, Indians, Hindus, whatever. So if a goy or an isha writes the Sefer Torah, Kotzen writes the Sefer Torah as possible, and the Sefer is writing b'shlichutam of all of the people who are paying him the money. Yeah, so the people are paying the money. So shluch shlodim kemaisa. So just like if the goy or the woman would write the Sefer Torah, it would be possible. So the shliach who's writing the shlichusam shel hanashim the hagoyim, it's a possible Sefer Torah. Why did Achrayim write that? It's a little bit of a joke. Now Sipesa Frank has a little bit of a discussion. Well, it's one of the gedolim from 80 years ago writes like that in his paper. And the Pashto says that it's a joke. What do you mean? Shluch HaSalim Kemaisa? If a man writes a Sefer Torah, it's possible because the woman told him to write it. She made him a shliach. The Pashto says that it's not correct. But that's what the Shach HaSari says. He doesn't see why women should be potter from Sefer Torah. He disagrees with the Rambam. He holds that women are mechuyev. And the Beis HaLevi defends the Rambam. He has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph from Beis HaLevi. Okay, Simon Vos. When he defends the Rambam, he says, no, it says the Feirish. Tisvi Lachem Es HaShir HaSas Kodam Des Bnei Yisrael Sima B'fiyah. That on the one level of interpretation, the pasuk is referring to Shiras Hazinu, and it means that Moshe the Yeshua should write it first and then transmit this Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. On the other level of interpretation, that it's referring to the mitzvah and Kol Yisrael Kisvu Lachem, is referring to you, me, and everybody throughout all the generations. We all have an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. So what does it mean, Belamdes Bnei Yisrael? The purpose of writing the Sefer Torah is in order that we should be able to learn from the Sefer Torah. So the Beis HaLevi says that women who are not obligated to sit and learn all day and all night, so they're potter from Ksivas HaSefer. That's how you read the pasuk. The purpose, the tachlis of Ksivas HaSefer is L'shem Mitzvahs Limud. So women are not mechuyev in Limud. That's what the Beis HaLevi explains. What do you mean women are not mechuyev in Limud? How's the woman going to know how to be a Shomer Shabbos? How's she going to know how to observe Taras HaMishpacha? The women, we are trusting the women on Kashrus, on Taras HaMishpacha, on the Cholent, on everything from A to Z. A lot of times the women do the business also. So the women have to learn the dinim. So that's what in Shulchan Aruch they say. The women are mechuyev to learn all the dinim that are relevant to that. The women are not mechuyev to learn Taras, Zeroyim. If they live in Chutzlar, they don't have to learn Zeroyim. But they have to learn all of the Dalat Chalki Shulchan Aruch that are relevant to that. They don't have to learn Hilchas Tefillin and Tzitzis because they're not going to like Tefillin, they're not going to wear Dalas. But all the laws of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras and Mishpachah, that they have to know in order to be able to observe it. So what do you mean that women are not mechuyev? So that's what the Beis HaLevi has in Hagdama. The Chelek Aleph. And also in Simen Vav in Chelek Aleph, he explains that there are two aspects of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. One mitzvah is Alamaratim Osam Mishmatim Lasosam, that Lima Torah is a Hefshah mitzvah, that it should enable you to fulfill all the other mitzvahs. It's not really a mitzvah with Neasma in that sense. So that mitzvah the women have also. They're not going to learn, so they won't know how to keep all the mitzvahs at Torah that they're obligated to fulfill. But then there's another mitzvah, Alamaratim Osam Mishmatim Lasosam, it says separate mitzvah with Neasma, even if the person is Kolona Chacham, Kolona Neben, Kolona Zakenim. Kolona Yodim is Kolat Arakula, still mitzvah lein alum, but bahasma demurub all day and all night. So that mitzvah to learn Vahasmada all day and all night, and to keep on chazring even though you're not afraid, you're going to forget. You know what the dinim are. And to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, even those Chelki HaTorah which are not knowing at all. That's if in Surah Mora, and you're running Dachas, and Bayis HaMenuga, that the Tanoim say Lahayol, or even to learn those Kolotim that are not relevant to us, like Zroim and like Taros, that obligation is only on the men, not on the women. But the women still have the mitzvah, obviously, they have to learn in order to know how to fulfill the Hekshe mitzvah, to learn in order to know how to fulfill the Hekshe
mitzvah.
Okay, yeah. And he says that that's how the Rambam understood. The purpose of Kisra Lechem is, V'lamda is v'nei sol sima b'fiyem, means the learning b'asmada. So since the women are exempt from that, the mamela they're exempt from the mitzvah k'siva sefer Torah. The Tur in Yeridei quotes the Tshuva Sarash, his father was the Rosh. Quotes from his father, Shala, how come his manazer? What's the story of his manazer? People don't write Sefer Torah. So he quotes the name of the Rosh, that his manazer will yaitse with the printed svar, the written svar, the printed svar. Because we don't learn from Sefer Torah, we learn from the printed svar. So there's a machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Bach on the side of the Tur. What did the Rosh mean to say? Did he mean to say that Bizman said the nature of the Kima Mitzvah has changed? Since we no longer learn from the Sefer Torah, we learn from art scrolls. So the Mitzvah is to buy art scrolls, Jewish press, or whatever you're going to learn from. Oh no, the Rosh meant to say that you certainly have to write a Sefer Torah, but Bizman said that's not enough. You're not Yotze. The Mitzvah is... Years ago, when I was a little boy, it used to be popular in all of the shuls. They didn't have any real shuls with later on when you have the mitzvah. And later on, after the Torah Shabbat was written down, so the Rosh said, the mitzvah is that every Jew should have a full Jewish library. So you're not yetzer by just having a Sefer Torah. You have to have the other svarim in addition, but if you just have the other svarim, you don't have the Sefer Torah, for sure you're not Yotze. That's, I think, the Bach. My point is the Bach in the Beit Sefer. The same Achronim asked, I think there are some Sefer. How can it be that there are some who learn Pshat in the Rosh, that Bizman is there, the whole nature of the Kima Mitzvah has changed, and one would be in fulfillment in the Mitzvah by buying printed svarim, and you don't even have to bother to commission the Ksiva Sefer Torah, because nobody our practice is, you never take out a Sefer Torah to learn from it. How can that be? What's the Dashina time of the Kro? The Gemara has the Machlokes of Shimon and the Rabbanu, where they say Dashina time of the Kro. So we say, like Dashina time of the Kro. You don't say that the reason for the mitzvah regulates the applicability of the mitzvah. So how can the Rosh come off to say such a wild thing? So the Mincha Saluzer has a tshuva where he answers the Kasha of the Chassam Sefer. He says, when he say Loi Dashina time of the Kro, the Gemara says in the second paragraph of Sanhedrin, when the Chumash doesn't give the reason. The Gemara says, when the Chumash gives the reason why next to the mitzvah, then the Gemara says, you do say Dashin in time of the Kor. Here it says, Kis v'lochem asashir ha-zois, v'lamdez b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyem. The way the Beis HaLevi said, the purpose of Ksiva Sefer Torah is that the person who commissioned the writing of the person who wrote the Sefer Torah should have a Sefer Torah to learn from. He should be able to learn from that Sefer Torah. So if it says the reason for the mitzvah right next to the mitzvah, then the Rabbanu hold that, yes, Dashin in time of the Kor. So the Rosh says, well, that is manazeh, that nobody learns our practices, and we don't learn from the Sefer Torah. You can't figure anything out from the Sefer Torah. It doesn't have the nekudas. You can't even figure out how to pronounce it sometimes. So we learn from Chumashim, from Tanakh, from Atzko, from whatever. So the mitzvah, the nature of the mitzvah has changed with manazeh. So Machloekes Achreinim, how to understand this Tshuva Sarosh. The Pizchei Tshuva and Yeridei and Hilchos Sefer Torah quotes as a fundamental machlokes whether this Beis HaLevi is right or not, before the Beis HaLevi. Machlokes, what is the nature of the mitzvah? Let's say a person pays $30,000, he gets a wonderful sefer, writes him a beautiful sefer Torah, Mehudar, and then after he writes the sefer Torah, he gives it away to Yeshiva. And it's not his anymore. He gives it away to Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael. It's not his. So the Pizchei Tshuva quotes the Machlokes Achronim, is he still yetzer the mitzvah? So some Achronim say, no, he's not yetzer, because the mitzvah is kisvu v'lamdez b'nei sotim b'fiyim. Like the Beit HaLevi said, the purpose of the mitzvah is to write a Sefer Torah, to have one that you should be able to learn from it. But if you gave it away and it's not at your disposal, you don't have it anymore, and you cannot learn from it anymore, then you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. And other Achrayim disagree, and they say no. The purpose of the Ksivas, the purpose of the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah is to maintain the Masorah, to preserve the Masorah of what the text of the Torah should accept, to be Marbis Sefer Torah. You have an old Sefer Torah, it's going to get worn out, so what's going to be for the next generation? So the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants every Jew to participate in Ksivas Sefer Torah, to transmit the Masorah of the Torah should accept to the next generation. So it doesn't matter, even if you give away to yeshiva and you don't have access to it at all, it's in a different city and you can't learn from it, doesn't matter. You have maintained the Masayur. If you say like that, that's in Gansen again, that's not like the Beis Halei, it's not like the Minchas Avos. That's a machlokes, right? What the nature of the mitzvah is. The Gemara in the end of Masechus Shabbos in Torah Tmi reports this. Shabbos Kuf Lamed Ches on the base. One Tana says, Tanoim was sitting around at the time of the Churban Abayis, after the Churban Abayis, and was so depressed. They had killed so many Talmid HaKamim, so nothing left, like in the Second World War. So many people were so depressed, the whole Torah is going to disappear. And it didn't happen. The Torah disappeared. There's more learning now in Eretz Yisrael in America than there ever was in Europe. They never had so many people learning as they have now. So the same occurred with Man Achut and Bai Sheni. They were so depressed that one of the Tanoim gave a crest and he said, I see the Torah shetishtakach mi Yisrael. The Torah is going to be forgotten. Shetisha bo'al beis ha-medesh. A woman is going to come to the beis medesh. We kick Rav Yoda, a loaf of bread. Shetis kashaylik, it's tummy, a tohar. They won't know anything. The people won't know anything. And then Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, Chas v'sholom, that's what the Torah means, the post anymore. Chas v'sholom, shetishtakach Torah Yisrael, it's not going to happen. Says, he shows us the Levakim Bar Hashem, and we'll search to find Bar Hashem, they won't find it, so it sounds like the Torah will be forgotten. No, what it means is, like today, you have a lot of people learning the Shiddish, but then when you have a Shaila, Allah HaMaizim, nobody knows how to pass it in the Shiddish, and often it did. No one knows how to pass it, and often it did. He says, Shalim to Allah, and even if you have a guy who knows, he knows Arachayim, he knows Mishnah Berurah. Comes a shayla on Yeridei, it doesn't know anything. The other fellow knows Yeridei upside out, upside down, inside out, doesn't know Arachayim. And those who know Arachayim, they don't know Eben Ezra. Those experts in Gittin, they don't know Arachayim. So that's what the Gemara speaks of. He showed to Levakas Arachayim, and so Shalim to Halacha Berurah or Mishnah Berurah B'Makah and Echor. That's what the Chavetz Chaim called the Sefer Mishnah Berurah, based on that Loshon HaGemara. You find that people learning, the Torah will not have been forgotten, but they won't be able to come to a conclusion to give them a stone. And even if you find one person knows one area, he probably won't know some other area. That was the pasuk that Rav Shimon bar Yochai popped up with. That's the pasuk that they have on the outside of the cave, Rav Shimon bar Yochai in Meiron. It says in big letters, Kilos Yishachach Mipi Zaro. And they have the letters Yochai in larger letters. Ki, the Sophie tables of Ki, Lesh Hashem Bizarre, is Yud, Aleph, Ches, Yud, Vav. So if you scramble around the letters, it stands for Yochai. So those who have visited Eretz Yisrael must certainly remember that on the Kever of Shem Yochai, they have this passage, because he was the one who would cheer up the other Tanaim and say, don't be so depressed, the Torah will not be forgotten. And he quoted this pasuk. And this pasuk has a remez for his father's name, Yochai. Vayikach alas Moshe lichtav v'tivan Torah zos al sefer atumam, and he gave it to the Levim, and he told them they should put the sefer next to mitzad aron bris Hashem elokeichem v'hoyasham b'chol yeid. Together with the Shnei Luchas HaBrit, the Sefer Torah was put in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Ad Tumah. There is a din in Maseches Megillah, that if you have a Megillah that's missing a word or two here and there, so it's kosher ad Rubai, as long as Rubai is Nichtav, even if Miut is missing. What would the din be in the Sefer Torah? What's the din if it's missing a couple of words? So there's a big machlokes of Rishonim. There is a Gemara in Gittin where it says, "Sekatera shechosi yiriya achas ein korim bo." It's missing a whole yiriya. Yiriya means a couple of amudim, from the stitches to the stitches. It's missing a whole bunch of columns, so you can't lay. Sounds like missing less than a yiriya. Sounds like you can lay. That's what the Balei HaTosfos, we don't have that Tosfos, but the Ramban and the Ritva quote, the Balei HaTosfos said, anything less than Yiriyachas is kosher. That's what it said in the Gemara. And the Ramban in the Hakdama to Chumash, and the Ramban in the Gemara in Gittin, the Ritva says, no, the Alpi Kabbal, it's absolutely not true, that the Losh HaMegmar Lav Davke says, Terash HaChasa Reis Achas, Ein Korn Bo. The Ramban also writes like that. We don't know what the Mokar is in the Gemara. Maybe the Ramban has a Mokar in Kabbalah. So it's interesting, the Rambam writes the same thing, as far as Chosra is Dachas is possible. And so you don't have any Mokar in the Gemara. So yeah, could be Masech Esof. Okay. So the Din is saying, well, that's the way we assume Shulchan Aruch. So if there's Chosra is Dachas is possible. So why is it that by Megillah Esther the Din is Ad Rubai? As long as Rubai is written, even if a Miut, a lot of words I'm missing is Kosher. Is that a special Kula in Megillah Esther because Nikris Tigeret? The Gemara says Nikris Seifa, Nikris Tigeres, you have certain Kulas in the Megillah Esther. Is that why? Or perhaps we should assume, no, that it's only because it says, Vayika Chalas Moshe lifted the Tibet Torah Zos al Sefer Ad Tumo. He wrote the entire Sefer Torah, and then he gave it to Levi, and then he said, oh, now it's a Kosher Sefer Torah. Hoyasham Mechali Eid. Now it's a Kosher Sefer Torah, now it's an Eid. If it's missing Oistachas, it's not Ad Tumo, so it's not an Eid. So maybe it's only a special Din in Sefer Torah because it's Xeris HaKos of Ad Tumo. And maybe in the Maksuvim would also be the same as Megillah Esther. Maybe it's not something special and unique only to Megillah Esther because Nikris Tigeres. Maybe that's the din of all Kisvei HaKodesh, with the sole exception of Sefer Torah, that Ruba Kukula would be good. This is a shaila, let's say in the shuls, in the yeshiva, when they lay in the haftaris from a cloth. So what happens in a cloth? You have to break your teeth. You have to memorize the trop and the pronunciation. So what happens if the cloth is missing Oisius anyway? Do you gain anything by laying it in that cloth? Do you say that this halacha, chaser eisachas, applies to all of the Nevi'im Ksuvim with the one exception of Megillah Esther? So you're not gaining anything. So why do you have to break your head? So laying from a printed chumash, it's just as possible, the cloth that's missing one letter is just as possible as the printed chumash, and make life easier for yourself. So laying from the printed chumash. Why should you say no? That in all Tanakh, the din is the Ruba Kukula, with the one exception of Sefer Torah because of Atum. That's a shayla. A member of Soloveitchik once raised the question. The Ritva has a tshuva where he says something about it, and it's very unclear. He contradicts himself in one line. First he says one way, then he says another way. It's very unclear what the Ritva said about it. Printed a beautiful essay after Rav Alvala, his uncle, died. He delivered a hesped here in Yeshiva, and then he wrote up that hesped. So in the middle of the hesped, he speaks about certain aspects of Matan Torah and Yom Kippur. Very interesting. Remember, after the hesped, one of the Talmidim in Yeshiva wrote it up for the newspaper. I don't think it was called Hamav. Maybe it was Hamavas. I think it had a different name. He always had a Shini Hashem. Commentator was always the commentator. But I think Hamavas always used to change names. Every 20 years or so. So he wrote it up and he made a mistake. He wrote, I remember, he's a famous person now, printed books. So he wrote, and according to Jewish tradition, the Luchas Rishonis were given on Rosh Hashanah and the Luchas Shniyas were given on Yom Kippur. Because Rav Soloveitchik was making contrast between Luchas Rishonis and Luchas Shniyas, and a contrast between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So this fellow on his own put the two together. We have a tradition, the Luchas Rishonis were given on Shavuot. They weren't given on Shavuot, but the Maimon Hasina, they were proclaimed. The Luchos Rishonis were proclaimed on Shavuot. This afternoon, someone is speaking about some aspects of that Hesped. The Hesped is a very beautiful Hesped. It's a very beautiful style of Hebrew, so it's really worth reading. And I'm sure the speaker will probably shed some light on the aspect. So everybody is invited. I think it's free of charge. No? Okay.